Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
To the Us Lifting Us Thursday night call. And as usual, we have a very interesting and vital topic to discuss, and we definitely want your input, and we will continue this conversation once the music finishes.
The freedom, so we overcome with the rhythm, the drum.
Once again, greetings, family, and welcome to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night Dare to Win call, the place where we have sober conversations around our need to build a global economic cooperative to serve the needs of people of African ancestry to achieve economic self-determination and sovereignty. And we definitely want you to take notes. This is a very vital topic that we're dealing with tonight. The topic is Forward Together, Weathering the Storm. Once again, Forward Together, Weathering the Storm. And whether you're listening by telephone or by internet, if you're on the internet radio, you can reach us by telephone when you have a comment or a question by calling 929-477-2789, and press 1 that will on your keypad telephone that will put you in the queue to speak with your question or comment. And if you want to listen by way of internet radio, you can go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And when you make sure you're on the home page, you'll see a yellow bar that gives you menu selections. Home page, home would be the gold bar over to the left of the page. And just scroll down to the next row, and you see Ulu Radio, and click on Ulu Radio. And once you get click on that tab, you scroll down and you look for the globe with the health headphones, and it says Listen Live, and you click on Listen Live. And so We thank you so much for being on the call. And tonight, once again, the topic is Forward Together, Weathering the Storm. And we have two guests on the line, along with the rest of the audience. And we have Sister Nanana and Baba Hakima. Greetings, family.
Yes,
greetings to you.
Greetings, Brother Thurman. Yeah, this is Sister Nanana. Thank you so much for hosting the program this evening. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to talk through this very timely topic with our audience. So I appreciate being here.
And this is Hakima, and of course, ditto. Greetings to the family. And I was, until Nanana blessed us, I was hearing a crackling noise in the back. I didn't know where it was coming from, but it looked like it's cleared up. But it's always good to be with the family. And of course, we gather here every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And Brother Thurman, it's good hearing your voice, as always.
Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, good word. And family, I'm still hearing some crackling myself, and I don't know where that's coming from. But in any case, we want to move forward with the topic. Both of y'all are able to hear well. We choose that the listening audience is also getting a clear feed. And so, once again, the topic is Forward Together, Weathering the Storm. And so, Sister Nanana, got a question. What is the meaning or message in the topic tonight? What is the message in the topic? And please explain each part.
Thank you so much for opening this discussion with an opportunity to examine the topic that we put forth. And I do need to share that I'm still having a little challenge with the crackling sound, so hopefully that's not a problem with any of our listening audience, but just want to let you know that that's the way it's coming across for me. But we'll go ahead and persevere and work through that. So, all right. So you asked the question, Brother Thurman, about the topic for this evening. Forward Together, Weathering the Storm. So what is the meaning in the message of the topic this evening? I believe that's what you wanted us to start out dialoguing about, to kind of set the stage and give some context around some of the things we're going to be discussing to follow. From my perspective, Forward Together is about achieving our goals and using unity as the tool, the major foundational tool for achieving our goals. And I know that within our communities of African descended people, we hear a lot about unity, and that unity is imperative, that it's something that we need, that it's very key for us. But I don't think we really understand what unity is. And so when we talk about moving forward together, we're talking about unity. I'd like to share a definition of unity, and actually it's a definition of what might be referred to as functional unity, meaning that this unity actually produces results. So functional unity is that level and quality of social organization and structure that naturally aids us as African descendant people or black people in building and maintaining power. Power to control the economic, political, and cultural life of our communities and nations. And then to take that a little bit further, functional unity is that system and infrastructure through which any social group promotes and protects its vital interests. And I think it's important that we acknowledge and recognize that unity is a very powerful element, that when we look at other communities all around us, that they have learned to, that they have incorporated it into their actual community structure. It is a part of their culture, and it's something that we're working towards embracing and making a part of our culture as well. So unity starts to form when we, in our hearts and in our minds, and I think you might say in our psyches, that we understand and act in a manner that actually demonstrates and portrays that we have more in common with each other than we have differences with each other. Now, you know, that's my personal perspective. I'm sure that there are others, and Baba Hakima may even have a different perspective on that as well. But I really, for me, unity starts to become obvious and to manifest and come to life when we actually start displaying behaviors and mannerisms and actions that demonstrate that we understand that we have a lot in common and that what we have in common is beneficial to us. Now, as stated in the functional unity definition, unity forms the power to control the economic, political, and cultural lives of our community. It is actually the core of the power and gives us the ability to actually protect ourselves. So, you know, it's a very foundational piece. And it's further, you know, in terms of my perspective, it's my position that the economic system is the common denominator. Any economic system is the common denominator that all of us identify with and that we can use to infuse or to ignite and to generate energy and commitment and forward movement together around unity. So I'm hopeful that, you know, that gives some insight and gives us some basis for that whole piece around forward together. The second part of the subject that we're approaching this evening, weathering the storm. Weathering the storm for me addresses, truly points out the crumbling system of capitalism, and we're witnessing all around us very obviously within the last couple of weeks in particular, that the capitalistic system is actually or has actually started to deteriorate. And we're being affected by it now in many obvious ways. Although it's been happening for a while, it has really come to a head, and the coronavirus is you know, kind of working in tandem with that, and of course is being given a lot of attention as well. What I see is that the deterioration of capitalism actually is an ideal platform and opportunity for us to embrace the ULU family-centered economic plan. You know, there's a saying that there is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And I really believe that we are in an era right now, a period in time in history where a door has opened for us. And although it may at this particular moment appear that it is a challenge or that it's something negative, I firmly believe that it's positive and that this is an opportunity for us to seize. So, yeah, I think this is an ideal platform and an opportunity for us to embrace the ULU family-centered economics. So when we talk about weathering the storm, I'm talking about holding steadfast to those values and principles that we know are the ones that will guide us to embracing an economic platform, the ULU economic plan and platform, which is going to be beneficial to huge numbers of people in our communities. We as African-descended people have the intelligence and we have the wherewithal to work this plan. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Current events have provided us with what could be the igniting force to light the fire for us to move forward with creating literally perpetual economic stability for our community. This is a very opportune time for us in history. I see nothing but positive opportunity for us moving forward if, in fact, we seize this opportunity. Additionally, what we might see now as being the storm that we have to push through, actually the storm has always been present, and some, you know, remnants of that will be present in some shape, form, or fashion. So I don't think we should fool ourselves by thinking that everything is, you know, at some point in time is going to magically go away and things are going to go back to quote-unquote normal. I judge that we're passing through a stage right now and that we will, in fact, not return to what we have considered normal, and that we're going to be positioned and almost forced to not only embrace but to enact a new economic structure. And that is, from my perspective, is the ULU family-centered economic structure. So now is the time. That the negative impact of capitalism is definitely being felt in very obvious ways. We're seeing it just does not work. And I just encourage us to act wisely and position ourselves so that we will never again put ourselves and our children at the mercy of a capitalistic system. I believe that more and more people are starting to understand cooperative economics and the benefit in particular for us and our communities, that it can literally be a foundational piece for us to preserve our culture and to leave a legacy for our children. So, you know, that was kind of a lengthy answer, but hopefully I responded to your question.
Oh, yes. It was a well-worded and vital lengthy answer, if you call it that. It's definitely was right on time because we need to have these kind of conversations and get these kind of definitions to help bring clarity as to how to proceed and what we must do. And we thank you for that. And family members, ideally you're taking notes because that was a very good message and definition, including the functional unity. Sister Nanana, another question is, how will Ulu open the door to creating unity, which leads to power and protection?
Well, yeah, you're hitting on some very significant building blocks this evening, Brother Thurman. Thank you so much for that question as well. It is through the economic system in any culture, in any community, in any nation that they protect themselves. It is the economic structure is the power base. And so what we are moving towards doing in Ulu and what is on the drawing board and being brought into fruition for us is to create an avenue for opportunities that we can embrace this power and protection through our economic plan. And the way that we do that basically is through education, that we recognize that there is a need to really provide basic foundational information for our membership and for our communities around what cooperative economics, the family-centered economic plan in particular, that Ulu has designed and developed, what it is really all about. So our communities must first be educated as to what family-centered economics really is and the benefits of family-centered economics. Now, Ulu has created an entity called the Ulu-Based Community, or the UBC, Ulu-Based Community. What we have on the drawing board is that the UBCs, these groups will exist in geographic areas where there are sufficient numbers of African-descended people to receive the knowledge and the education, and also sufficient numbers to support businesses that will develop as a result of the commitment and the work of the Ulu-based community. So moving forward, and there's going to be more information coming out in the very near future about the formation and the structure of the Ulu-based communities. They are literally the heartbeat of Ulu, and this is how we're going to do our community outreach. It's how we're going to provide education to those in our communities, and it's also another method for us to ensure that there is a communication link going from those who are in decision-making positions in Ulu with those who are really the power base, which is the membership. The UBC will also ensure that we have that communication link. So that's a long way around for me to say, once again, the way that we're going to do it is through providing knowledge, information, and educating people on what the structure and the plan is actually all about, and assisting them to get started in their various communities, actually breathing life into businesses, Ulu-based cooperative businesses in geographic areas, and of course, connections with key community organizations in those areas as well. So it's going to be through education, through the Ulu-based collectives.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad that you brought forth that conversation, that necessary conversation about the UBCs, and which is very important, family. And you can always reach us at another time, another hour, to get further and get your questions answered with regard to the UBCs. And you can reach us at info@usliftingus.com by email, info@usliftingus.com. But to continue on right now, Baba Hakima got a question. Does the current health crisis force Ulu to change its basic empowerment plan?
An emphatic no. It actually highlights the need for our plan. When I was expecting my first child, I had chosen the name Mubulu, and my wife was against that name, of course. It didn't sound right to her. But the meaning of it was born during the rainy season. And so in that spirit, it's always been a rainy season for us since the intervention of the invaders, whether they were the Arabs or the Europeans or whoever they were. And so the Ulu plan had its genesis in a crisis, because we have always been in a crisis. So this current corona scare does not mean that we need to change anything. It really means that we really need to pay closer attention, draw closer to each other, be extremely focused on building out our apparatus, our system, our plan. So in short, the answer is no. And I really appreciate it. Nanana is going over functional unity and what it means to be moving forward or forward together in the whole discussion about unity. And I'd just like to, for the family, to just kind of pose this. It's often said that we are dominated, oppressed, and exploited by people. I suggest that's not totally true. More than anything else, we're dominated, exploited, oppressed by systems that have been created and held in place by people, other people. And likewise, I think it was clear that Nanana is saying that we as a people have to be focused. That's not to say that every one of us need to be focused, but some few of us need to be focused on the science and the engineering necessary to build and put in place systems and institutions that speak to our self-interest as a people. And so the question you asked me in terms of because of the current crisis, would we need to change our basic empowerment plan? And again, I say no. It's just that we now have to, and this gives us pause. It gives us extra reason to position ourselves so that we can protect and defend our people. And you do that with systems and institutions that have been constructed based on who you are, your identity, and your needs, and the particularities of your people and your circumstances. So in short, brother, I guess I've said that a couple of times, but emphatically, no, we just need to strengthen what we do and practice what we preach through our systems and our skills at running or manipulating those systems. Hopefully that begins to answer it. I'm sure we got a little bit more time if we need to elaborate on it further.
Yes, that answered it very well. And family members, we definitely, you should be taking notes and heeding the message and the words that's being expressed. And if you got questions or you got comments, you can reach us at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad. And once again, the topic is Forward Together, Weathering the Storm. And we're going to continue this conversation, and we're going to take a very short musical break, and we're going to come back, and Baba Hakimo want to talk about the recent cancellation because of this virus, and just have some conversation about that and some other things. Okay, family, we need to get back into the topic and the message for tonight. Baba Hakima, continuing the conversation, what effect did the cancellation of the annual members meeting and convention have on planning for 2020 and beyond?
Well, thank you for the question, brother, and Anana may want to respond to this as well. I guess the test is going to be what occurs over the next few months. But it looks like we may have benefited in some ways from the cancellation. Certainly we were sorry that we were not able to come together as we normally do. There were brothers and sisters who got held up in Europe from coming. I know you had wanted to come from Virginia and other people. We had calls, and for various reasons, people couldn't come. And then we had a few people who came who had to be turned around because we frantically got the message out through Facebook, through email, direct emails. People were calling each other. But the campus was closed down the morning of the day that we were to start the convention. So some people were not turned around until the last minute. And so we lost the ability to embrace each other, to see some brothers and sisters that we haven't seen from last year. There were new members who were coming to the meeting, and we lost in terms of the opportunity to see them for the first time. So there's those things we know we lost. There may have been other things. But the fact that most of the board were already here because we had planned an early meeting where we would come together face-to-face as the board. And so some of us got in town Thursday. And so what was able to be accomplished in a kind of unique setting is that the board was able to be face-to-face for 3 days. And this is the first time in the life of Ulu that we've been able to spend that kind of quality time together as the leadership. And so that was precious. And it may be that in retrospect, months from now, we may have looked, we may be able to look back and say that we were able to accomplish some things because of the board being with each other for 3 days that we may not have been able to accomplish had the convention gone on as planned. One of the things, of course, we missed was the rotation. Each year in March, 3 of our 9 board members must vacate their seats. And then if they're willing to continue to serve, then they are put in the slate, and then other people are nominated. And so we were not able to do our normal board rotation and fill those vacant seats or firm anyone who was already there for another 3 years of service. And we had one seat that we really wanted to fill. One of our board members had to resign based on a new assignment on her job. And so we lost those opportunities. But overall, Brother Thurman, I would say that we had some very aggressive plans in terms of increased number of members, other developments that would place us in a better position to continue and fortify our basic plan. And it looked like, and of course, when the cancellation was announced, you know, all of us had a, you know, that feeling in the stomach that, you know, we're not going to be able to go forward. But I'm thinking that we've landed on our feet, so to speak, and we're going to be able to go forward. And Nanana, would you have anything to say about that question as a follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Baba Hakima, for giving me an opportunity to comment on that. And I do agree with what you have shared so far about the opportunity that was presented to the board via the cancellation of the campus facility, which caused us in turn to have to cancel the members' meeting and convention. The opportunity that was presented to the board, as Baba Hakima said, was a unique opportunity that we've not had before to sit with each other face-to-face and to give some energy and thought to working through some issues and putting together some plans that we knew that we had to work on. But in a face-to-face situation, it was very clear that it can make all of the difference in the world in terms of the effectiveness and the quality of the energy that goes into the process. We were very dismayed and concerned about communicating to our membership the cancellation of the meeting and how we would move forward with it. And a piece that we do still have to figure out is concerning the election and what is going to be the amicable way and the best way for us to make sure that the seats that need to be filled are filled and that the work continues. So from what might appear to be a negative situation, we're finding growth opportunities because now we have an opportunity to address any emergency event like this that might occur in the future, and to write put some words into our guiding documents that will help us to know how to respond in that type of a situation where we cannot have the election. What is it that we're going to do? So we'll be addressing that with the membership coming up in the very near future. And also just looking forward to the next opportunity for a members meeting and an annual members meeting and a convention, and doing everything that needs to be done to make that a tremendously successful event. Because we will be springboarding off of not having had the opportunity to come together this March, but moving on to next March and understanding the benefit that there is of having that annual meeting, that it simply can't be replaced. So once again, just a long way around to say that we are definitely taking the lemons and making lemonade, and we're seeing nothing but positive events and impacts for us going forward. And we're looking at what the next convention will look like with an increase in membership, because that's part of our plan as well. And we'll be rolling out some of these ideas and putting them plainly before the membership. We'll be saying more about that on our next members-only call that'll be coming up on the third Sunday of every month is when we have that members-only call. So thank you for the opportunity to comment on that.
Okay, thank you all, both of Baba Hakima and Sister Nanana, for some very good information concerning the cancellation and how well the board came together and made very productive use and did bonding also, and as you said, the first time to be able to spend 3 days together. Baba Hakima and Sister Nanana, if you want to chime in. Also, another question, what message do you have for ULU members in this uncertain time?
Yeah, all of us are going through, and I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, I've certainly not been a part of anything like this. I know, Brother Thurman, you were in the foxhole during Vietnam and some hot times then, so you've been through something that I haven't been through, and you may want to compare warfare to this, but these are some strange times, and I know our members are having many emotions and many feelings. And we're looking at our families, our loved ones, our communities, and we're uncertain of what it is that we're going through. But I guess overall I would say that we say to our membership that the ULU plan points to fortifying us for just these times, good times and bad times. It's really in our name, us lifting us, and the science, the technology, the systems and institutions that will allow us to lift us. And when we say lift, we're talking about, of course, to elevate, to position us where we are able to protect and to promote and protect our vital interests as a people. And so what I would say to all of our members is let's continue to embrace each other. And when we say family-centered economics, we're not talking about the nuclear family. We're talking about all of us as a family. So the community as a family, the nation as a family, the global African community as a family. So be assured that those of us in leadership and those of us who join teams and participate in other ways in ULU are mindful of the necessity to build and put in place those systems. And the crisis that it seems that we are going through, for some of us, and I would dare say for most of us, is causing us to refocus and to be even more committed to building the ULU plan. And as Nana indicated earlier, part of our planning, and this for some people, for some of our members, will be the more meaningful part of our overall plan, even in some cases more meaningful than our business organizations or the UBCs, the ULU-based communities. These are smaller collectives of ULU members where we build relationships, where we tangibly, in community, learn to support each other, whether that's about food security or about health, physical security, disaster planning, any number of things. And so I just say to our members, be on the alert, because we're going to be reaching out to you to join a committee, or join a team, to take leadership in building a UBC in your community. And we're talking about a global community. So we have a few members in Canada, Europe, East Africa, West Africa, South Africa, the Caribbean. So it's not only our communities in the quote-unquote U.S., but our global family. As a matter of fact, I think we probably have our fastest growing ULU community in West Africa. So so I guess if I remember the question, is what we would basically want to communicate to our members, is that in your community, in your family, think as a sovereign would think, have a sovereign consciousness. And succinctly what I mean by that is know that if it's to be, it's up to you, it's up to us. And I know that we have to build the institutions and the tools that we need to support each other and to move forward together. That would be my answer.
Very, very good. Sister Nanana, did you want to add anything to that uncertain time question?
Well, thank you for for inviting me to respond. I appreciate that. And I was just sitting here thinking to myself, I'm excited. I'm excited. I see opportunity. I judge that a door has opened. My perception is that this is definitely our time. This is our time to shed ourselves of the old systems, the old thoughts, the old behaviors, the old ways of interactions, of being with each other. And it's the opportunity to embrace a way that is guaranteed to be nothing but beneficial, because it's about strengthening our communities and about strengthening our families. That's not to say that there won't be some discomfort and some pain anytime you're moving from an old way of doing things and having to take on a new way. It's never totally comfortable, but I'm thinking that once we really start to see and understand that the family-centered economic plan, which Baba Hakima has very skillfully pointed out, it's about the global family. Once we see the benefit of that and the potential of that and all of the things that it can produce for us, I judge that it's just going to grow by leaps and bounds. And the vast majorities of people in our communities are not going to want to be left out. They want to be a part of this and will be very willing to add their intelligence, their wherewithal to helping to make it work. So I'm seeing very positive things coming forward in the future. And the benefit of the uncertain time is that the upheaval gives us the opportunity to once again move forward. And it's only forward. Forward is the only direction that we are going to go.
Ashe.
Mm-hmm.
Ashe. Good word. And I'd also like to add that as Baba Hakima was talking about the various points he brought up, and he talked about being in a foxhole, among the things that we must learn is that, and more of us need to grasp hold of this, the war has always been waged since the first time the invaders came. And in the war and on the battlefield, you reach a point where, and a lot, oftentimes you wouldn't have to be told this, you just reach a point where you don't put a lot of worration on the fact that you could die that day or certainly at nighttime. And also, historically, African people on the battlefield, they always, whenever there was a break in the battle, they still had love for each other and they smiled at each other. And so it would help us tremendously to still maintain the love in spite of the fact that the battlefield is active every day and every night. But every chance you got to give thanks to the sisters and brothers around you, to the Most High and to the ancestors and to the sun shining on you. We can just reach a point where we are less emotional about what's going on. So that's a very important point, is to learn how not to get emotional about some of the, a lot of these horrors. Just be determined. Be like Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, just determined. You know, she got beat and brutalized and she never gave up. And we've got to do that. And one last thing I want to say, which we are not successfully doing that, the masses of us, and that is strengthening ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically, and nutritionally. And in this time about this so-called virus, it's vital that we boost our nutrition. It's also vital we boost our mindset in being determined that we're going to be well, because our muscles, our cells, our nerves listen to everything you say. And if you're fearful and dreadful about getting this so-called disease, you're helping to invite a weakness in your immune system, a weakness in your immune system. And we don't need a weakness in our immune system. And there's more to that subject. So we got to be very, as you said, Baba Hakima, be more committed, but we got to be more committed in all areas of our activities on a higher side and in a strengthening way. I'm done. In the last minutes, Baba Hakima, are there any more major lessons that we're likely to learn from this crisis, or anything that you other thing that you want to add in these last few minutes?
Well, I'm hopeful that we're going to learn a lot of lessons, and one of the things I would ask us to survey our community, just look at the institutions that are currently prominent in our community. You've got the NAACP, the Urban League. You've got political organizations dealing with electoral politics. You've got sororities and fraternities, and most of the institutions, I dare say, that we can identify in our communities have been created and or formatted for addressing, for petitioning the broader community to lessen the pain or the burdens that we have to bear as a people. With rare exceptions do we have institutions in our community that are building systems and ways for us to service our own needs. And, of course, ULU, as it grows, will become one of the more dominant and prominent institutions in our community that speak to us, lifting us. And so I think the lessons that we will hopefully learn, the primary lesson, is that you're vulnerable. You're very vulnerable when you don't have institutions in your community that can rise to the occasion. And maybe I'm being unfair, but I would imagine that there are going to be some institutions that are going to be pivotal, that are going to be important and crucial in us moving through this phase, and hopefully the black church will show itself to be on time and with resources. But I think overall, if we're attentive, we're going to learn a good number of lessons, but at the expense of repeating myself, and I'm known to do that, it's just that people who have particular interests, and we do, we have an interest in surviving and in thriving as African people on the planet, and what that need, what that clarity dictates is that we build the institutions and systems that allow us to be successful. We're never successful just because we want to be. We're successful because out of that desire, we build the institutions, the tools that make it happen and that sustain that as we go. So that's what I would hope for. And so we, in order to learn the lessons, we've got to pay attention. So let's all of us really pay attention. And Brother Thurman, I really appreciate you highlighting the fact that we've got to pay attention to our mental health, our physical health, our security, our nutrition, and fortify ourselves and the family as we should have been doing anyway. And so I thank you for that. It looks like we're coming close to the end. And so, Brother Thurman, I'm sure you want to wrap it up.
All right. Well, let's, Sister Nanana, give us some closing words as we move on into our rest time and into our dream time tonight.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. And what I would say in closing is that it's about us lifting us. And if I were to identify a lesson in this time of crisis, the lesson would be that we are our own best friend. And that we are the only ones, we are our allies. We have no other allies. And so this is definitely about us starting to demonstrate, and Baba Hakima said, with those building those agencies, those organizations, those institutions that will be about the business of taking care of our needs. And nobody else is going to do that for us other than us. So it's always about us lifting us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, family.